The topic of today's episode is goal getter. For many people, goals are an important part of achieving their vision for the future, as they help to maintain focus and to provide motivation. Today, we will speak with our guest, Josh Farr, to gain insight to how to set effective SMART goals and how to stay on track to achieve them. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Dose of Pharma. I'm Jessica, and this is Pranav. And today we're joined by our exciting guest, Josh Farr. Josh lives by the motto, if not now, when? He graduated from UNSW with a Bachelor of Engineering and got a job as an engineer before realizing he needed to step outside his comfort zone and to learn who he was and to truly get to know himself. Deciding the best way to do this was travel, he took 2 years off to explore the world and himself, and now he's the founder of Campus Consultancy, a business which aims to educate, develop, and connect Australia's next influential leaders with workshops. So does that sound about right, Josh? Good introduction for you.
That's a great introduction. Well done. Nicely said. You left out all the bad stuff and only put in the good stuff. So thank you.
There's no bad stuff when it comes to Josh.
Too kind. Yep. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course, it's a pleasure. Like, to start off today's episode, I'll start with the first question. I'm pretty sure like everyone who's on LinkedIn have seen your posts about like workshops and just skill workshops and like just a lot of avenues to improve and enhance those leadership and communication skills. And it really, like, whenever I see those posts, I see like a really strong passion and a drive for student leadership. So what motivates you and what sort of initiatives do you use to promote these skill workshops?
Cool. I'll do the passion and then I'll talk to you about some of the initiatives.
All good.
So with the passion, on the passion front, I have a belief that you, me, everyone is unique. There's one of us, right? Now, depending on your spiritual beliefs, I don't know how many goes you have at life. I think we may have one of them. Well, all I know is we at least have this one. And I think you're unique and you need to create and lead. And what I mean by that is I think of leadership as service. Leadership is doing something for somebody else. And I think we need to be creative in that we need to pick who we want to help, how we want to help them, when we want to help. But ultimately, from reading hundreds of books, from travel, from everyone I've listened to and learned from, I think it's about giving. And I think our lives will be enriched. And I've seen lives of people, including mine, be enriched in all sorts of ways by giving and finding a problem in the world that's bigger than ourselves. One of my favorite entrepreneurs ever, Peter Diamandis, says the world's biggest challenges are the world's biggest opportunities. So what I'm passionate about is helping people figure out what problems in the world do they want to solve? What annoys you when you see it on the news? Or what's something you've been through that you hope never happens to anyone else? And I don't think we'll solve the next generation's or this generation's problems. I don't think we'll solve today's problems with yesterday's thinking. So I'm really interested to figure out how we can help young people and all people be leaders in their own lives, in their own communities, and tap into that ability. On our initiatives, kind of how we do that, as you said at the start, programs and workshops, they're all online at campusconsultancy.org. So if you go to the website, www.campusconsultancy.org, you can see them there. But they're one-offs like goal setting workshops, time management workshops, all the way through to multi-year programs that we're running with colleges and universities. We do a bunch of free events as well for our Facebook group, Campus Leaders Community. But yeah, we just want to do whatever we can. I'm not stuck to one particular style or method or even topic. We just want to help people figure out who they want to be and how they want to lead in the world.
That's really good for someone because like everyone's in their uni years now and everyone has a plan what they want to do, but there's so many people who are still like questioning or like still deciding what you want to do.
Yeah.
And these workshops, like you go into them thinking like, oh, this is going to be great. And suddenly you have a revelation, like the light bulbs go off and they're like, oh, this is what I want to do. So it's like a really good avenue, like to find your path and like for you to realize what you want to do in life and what sort of areas you want to pursue. And yeah.
Thanks, Pranav. And one of the metaphors I use there that might resonate with people is if whether you have a plan or not, you know, and how plans change, I think one of the big skills we need is ability to adapt to changing plans. You know, everyone had a plan until COVID came along. So throw it out the window because I think that's going to happen. Like what happens, like technology and whatever. So one of the things I think of is, I think that a lot of the times when we're looking to take a step, it's, we might have an idea of what we want, but fear will hold us back. And if we can say, what do I need to do to move through it? Who could I find? What resources could I access? What environments could I get in? What podcasts could I listen to? You know, it's kind of like a lock. If you've got a five number combination lock, if you've got four of the five numbers, the lock doesn't open. You feel like you've made no progress, even though you've got 4 out of 5 numbers. Yep. And if the last one, you need like a 7 and you've got a 6, you might have 4 numbers right. The odds are 1 in 10,000 that you open this thing up, right? 5 numbers or 100,000, whatever the math is. 100,000, 1 in 100,000. You're 1 number off. You need a 7, you've got a 6, but the lock won't open.
Yeah.
So sometimes that moment when you come to the workshop is it's just that little bit to go, oh, and you see it a little bit differently.
Is there any more advice you'd give to like those without a vision for their future on how to like find that? Like, should they be planning or should they just be finding what they're passionate about? Or some advice you have for those kind of people?
Yeah, I love that. So I love the way that you worded that. Like, what do you have advice for people who don't have a vision for their future? And I think my first thing would be try to get a vision. And it might not be like the dream life. We're not trying to like just solve everything in one swoop. But my question would be, and I do this activity to close your eyes, think about your life a year from today. So like if someone's listening to this, look at the date, add a year onto the year. So if today's the 12th of April and you add a year on, 12th of April, 2022. And just ask yourself, what would you like your life to look like in a year? Now, the key with this is, and especially if you've done SMART goals before, specific, measurable, I like actionable, realistic or relevant and time bound, that R is really subtle. And to make it realistic, make it possible. So not like, I'd like to make $10 million by the end of this podcast. Like, unfortunately, it's not going to happen. But so make it possible. But possible means, you know, if you really tried, if you prioritized it, if you did it, if you looked at it every day, it'd be possible. But also make it such that it encourages you to grow, forces you to grow. So we say set a goal that you cannot achieve with the person you are today. Because you achieved everything you've already achieved in life because of who you are. Set something that would encourage you to grow into somebody new. So think about where I want my life to be a year from today. And then sit down with a blank piece of paper. Write down some different categories, you know, finances. If you were to open your bank account in a year, what do you want to see there? And same thing, it's got to be possible, but it's got to be challenging. You know, your relationships, your health and fitness, your academics, your career. And if you ask and you really think about it and you're honest and brave, if you can fill in an A4 page and go, okay, I think I kind of, you know, I actually want to move out on my own. And, you know, I'd be okay if I had less money, but I really need to buy a car. So like that'd help me get a job or whatever it is. And just do that process and then set it out and then break it down into some milestones. Where do you want to be in a month in these categories? And then make the plan. But if you don't have that vision, I'd just say it's totally okay. It's going to change a million times. Just give yourself a few minutes, blank sheet of paper, go to your favorite cafe and just go like, what do I want? And see what comes to mind.
Like sky's the limit, you know, like you can do anything you want. If you put your mind to something and if you devote all your time and your efforts towards it, like it's not that hard. As long as you put the efforts in and like, it's just like every time, even if you stumble up, you always come back to the drawing board of life.
Yeah,
done everything and
and it can be like I'm a massive advocate for setting goals and I think they're really important because you need a goal to challenge you and to help you grow fundamentally. Point of a goal is not just to achieve it, but it's who you become as you chase it and as you pursue it. You know, if Jess, for example, you were to say, you know, I want to be the youngest ever CEO at this company. If you go, oh, I'm 28 and I'm only the youngest ever COO. Like I'm a failure. Like not at all. Like that's great. You know, if you're like, I'm not the youngest, but like I've got a great job and I'm happy. And like, look at my great friend. Like you can have that ambitious thing. But I think sometimes where it can go wrong is when people set big goals, I think they can either drive you and motivate you or they can depress you. Like you can sit at the bottom of the mountain and go, oh my gosh, I really want to get up there. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. Or you can sit at the bottom of the mountain and go, oh, that's a really long way up. And it is a long way up, but I think we need to be subtle with goaling. It's so different for different people's like psychology, mental state, stages of life, their context, you know, we're different. Is what's a goal that's big enough that it push you and challenge you, but not so big that like the weight of it would crush you. And that in different areas of our life will be different for different people. So I think for me that set something that can challenge you, but also know that like for me, the biggest reward is setting goals that influence your internal state, not your external state. It's about having a better quality of life. Just having the better job or having a bigger house or whatever, like that's external. And from someone who's, I've been there and ticked off those things and was like, why am I not happy? I was like, it's an internal game. So if people can set a goal that's internal, then the path can become a little bit more clear. Does this make me feel good? Yes or no. Does this give me energy? Yes or no. Am I motivated? Do I have purpose? Yes or no. If you get a few no's, it might be worth pausing and reflecting.
Yeah, to follow up with that, like in your experience, why do you think people have difficulty with effective goal setting?
Yeah, it's a couple of things. So the first thing might be they just don't think it's important. And I say, I'm not going to set goals because I don't think goals matter. The reality is you need goals because when you wake up in the day, what are you going to do? And if you don't have goals, it's hard to know what to do with the day, right? And a goal can be less of something as well. So I think one is like they don't think they're important. Two is they think it's just about adding more stuff into your life. You're like, well, I'm already busy. I've already got no time. Well, how can I have a goal? Then I'm going to have even less time, right? Whereas a goal could be less of something. I had someone in a workshop today ask for an example and they said, a goal could be smoking less cigarettes. I'm like, that's a great example, you know? No judgment, your goals, but I've never met someone whose goal is, I really want to smoke more cigarettes. You know, like that's not. So one can be, you don't think they're important. Two can be, I don't think I have time. Three, it can be, I actually don't really know how to do it. You know, there's more to a goal than just writing down what it is. That's the first step. The next thing is you've got to see that every day. You've got to put it on the wall. You've got to know, you've got to put it in your mind, see it through your eyes and your ears. So it becomes something that's, it's like it's already happened for you. People think they work towards a goal. You work from a goal. You decide in your mind first what you want to achieve. And then once you've seen it, you work backwards. You reverse engineer it. But like any building that's being built, like any drug that comes to market, someone thinks of it first. And then they go, how do we get that? How do we create that? So it's having that real clarity, seeing it, being reminded of it, and then knowing how to work towards it. We've got to know why we want our goals. We do goals and we say it comes down to what do you want and why do you want it? If you have enough reasons, you'll achieve your goal. So is that the old, this is kind of a truism in the professional development world, but someone says like, if I was to give you $100 million to achieve your goal by the end of next week, you'd find a way. You know, you'd find a way to get that internship, fix your resume, you know, get out of bed at 6 a.m. Like you'd find a way. We don't lack the motivation. We lack the reasons. And we do a really good job, I think, in a Western university higher education setting of informing the front bit of our brain, prefrontal cortex stuff. Sometimes we forget about the more emotional stuff, the bit that says, I could get up and study, but I am snugly in bed, you know? And it's, if you've got a goal that says, like, this is what I want, this is why I want it, it's how it's going to help me, the community, it's going to be fun, you've got enough reasons, then that'll get you towards your goal. So knowing how to set goals is tough. It's something I work on every day. I'm still reading books about goal setting, listening to podcasts about goal setting. I listened to one the other day with a guy, Bob Proctor. And I listened to a 2.5 hour podcast twice because I listened to it the first time. I was like, this is so good. I just went back to the start and re-listened to it. And that idea, if you don't work towards a goal, you work from a goal. That was one of the things that he spoke on a bit. It's like, I've talked about goal setting for years. I taught it, read about it. I'm still learning about it because I think you, like in any field, med's a really good example here. The more like med and healthcare is you're always learning. You're always specializing. You're going to conferences, publishing papers. Like there's a real culture of like, we don't know what we don't know. What's the truism that half of what we know in health is false? We just don't know which half. So it's the same thing with that. Like psychology is an early field, goal setting, professional development. It's early, it's changing. So I think what fascinates me is if it's hard, it's challenging. It's why not a lot of people do it. It's not always fun to do, to sit down and go, what parts of my life are not the way I want them to be? Like, that's not a fun conversation always. I think what is fun is to go, it could be better. And the only one who's going to make it better is me.
Yourself, yep.
Nothing changes if nothing changes. So I think that's kind of parts of it.
That is so true. Like, I really agree with that. And like, as you said, you have to know why to get to that what. Your why is always going to be the thing you have your passion for. And once you have a passion, you have an internal drive, which like motivates you throughout. So it's going to reassure you and always keep you on that path. So you're never going to deviate from it. And if you see most like the biggest problems are always solved when you reverse engineer things. So I think when it comes to goal setting, yes, I think it's very imperative that you think about the why first, and then you come to what and how and the other questions in the timeline. But yeah, very insightful.
Yeah, do you have any further advice on how you find the motivation to get up at 6 a.m. to have these goals, to achieve all that?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that's really helpful, at least this is true from my experience, if there's definitely be times in my life where I didn't feel like it, you know, my alarm goes off today at 6 a.m. I'm like, nah, 6:30, you know, because I just know that like, I can't trick my brain into that. It's got to be real. So today I had a first workshop at 10, something I really wanted to, an hour of work that we needed to do at 9, an hour and a half of exercise, and this half an hour little thing we wanted to do 7:30 to 8. So I was like, oh, okay, I can, when I worked backwards, like in my mind, I'm like, oh, I can get up at 6:30, get up at just before 7. So like, I'm like, I'll get up at 6. But even today, I didn't have a compelling enough reason to do it. And I woke up at 6. I was like, I'll get up at 7, you know? So it's not something that I think you perfect or you need to perfect. Like, I don't want to put this message out there that it needs to be perfect all the time. But if you want something, if you want to change something, then the one of the biggest resources that's untapped is our time. And if you want to change it, you've got the ability to do that. So one of the things that helps me with that is having a schedule, having a calendar. So for example, like I could tell you that, like I knew I had a workshop at 10, an hour of work, half an hour meeting, hour and a half for exercise, like, because those are all blocks in my calendar. I love Google Calendar. I color code everything. I'm like obsessed with it. Peter Drucker once said, you can't manage what you do not measure. So for me, if I want to measure things, if I want to manage things, like actively manage it, I need to know where I'm spending my time. And one of the big tricks with goal setting, I think, is you can say, well, it's hard to measure a goal. Often we'll talk about SMART goals should be measurable. You can't always measure that progress on the output, but you can always measure the input. And if you're struggling, measure the amount of time you put into it. So it's like, I want a better relationship. Well, how would I measure my relationship? Well, how much time do you spend with that person? How much do you want to spend with that person? Okay, like, is it more or less? Like, you might honestly think, like, you know, maybe mom calls every day, you know, I think mom, we'd have a better relationship. We call, you know, twice a week. You made it meaningful. But measuring it. So for me, the time and the calendar is big, and not expecting yourself to get it right on the first go.
It is a learning curve. Like, if you try something the first time, it's not always like you're going to get it spot on. But the more times you attempt it, the more you learn from each obstacle and each hurdle. It's just a big, like, life's a big learning curve. You just learn every time you fall back, but you just have to make sure that you get up every single time and like come back even stronger.
Yeah. And that's what the word resilience means. Like, the root word of resilience, the rebit, means to do it again. Like, if you resubmit an assignment or something, you're doing it again. Yeah. But the resilient bit at the end is a slightly different root word, means to bounce. So the idea of resilience is like you bounce again. You can't bounce if you never fall. And so that idea of, we want to be resilient, is you can't get resilient unless you fail at stuff. And so you don't want to fail at stuff. Failure itself is not the goal, but we need to be in an environment where we can. We need to be in an environment where we're accepting that it's part of the process. And like, that paradox can sit weirdly with some people, but going, what if I set a goal that I knew I was going to fail at? Like, I was almost confident, but even if I did it, it'd be worth it. It's like when I started my own business, for example, we know a huge percentage of businesses fail, and everyone at the start's confident that they'll be the one that doesn't, you know? And I was like, even if it fails, it's going to be worth it. I'm going to learn things. I'm going to meet new people, you know? I can sit around my friends and laugh how silly I was that I thought I could start a business, you know, talking about leader, like
some banter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's a different way to think about it, rather than like, what's something that's so good that I'd do anything for? Because like, you might not get it, but what's something that you do even if you did fail? You don't want to fail, but you're accepting along the way, oh, I'm going to try something. Oh, that didn't work. Like, in the last week, we've canceled like 5 things. Like, I did a daily newsletter every day for 5 weeks. And after 5 weeks, I was like, nah. You know, and I just constantly looking at these different initiatives, and I was like, we try things, it doesn't work, but then one of them does. And so I think that idea of, if you're trying to hit a bullseye, you might have to throw 5 darts, but if you don't throw any darts because you're afraid of missing, you'll never hit it. So keep throwing them.
Like, just like you said earlier about the fear bit when you said at the start, and I think that's a really important thing to address, because like, given even uni, there's so much competition, there's so much pressure, a lot of people do have a fear of failure. But I think it's really important to see past that and see all the things you can learn and all the things you can pick up just in the process when you work for something and you fail. Failure teaches you a very good lesson when it comes to any aspect of life.
One of the people I've learned a lot from this space, Gary Vee, if you've ever seen his stuff, podcast and stuff,
legend.
Cool, right? He has this phrase of like, micro failure, macro success. I think that's right. And the idea is like, lots of little failures, be like, don't sink the ship. Like, that's not the goal, right? We want the ship to float, but the little failures along the way are fine. Like, when I first started Campus Consultancy, my first idea for it was like a mentoring, not even a platform, because like, I don't have the technical like coding kind of skills, but it was like a mentoring kind of program. And an early mentor, ironically, one of mine was like, no one's ever going to pay for that. I was like, what do you mean? But it's so great. It's going to help everyone. He's like, no, it doesn't. Here's seven reasons why it's not going to work. You know, and I need it. I was like, oh, but that was my idea. And then it changed into, you know, what it is, because we looked at what was actually needed and what did people want. So being really flexible with your approach, which helps if it's not about you, but it's about someone else. So this is where it kind of comes full circle. If your goal is, I want to help this person, I want to work towards this problem, then you can find people who are already doing that. There's a concept in goal setting called modeling, where if you want something, find someone who's already got it. Anything any of us want, someone else has already achieved. Someone's already got a great podcast or got our dream job or has the best haircut or runs the marathon in that amount of time. Like, someone's got that. And if we can figure out who they are and what they did, and even better, if we can reach out to them and speak with them, they can help us get there too. But it takes a level, I think, of the humility to say, I actually don't have all the answers, and I'm always going to be learning.
I think being humble is a very important trait when it comes to anything, because say you make a mistake, if you have the humility, you will be more accepting of that mistake and you'll be more open to making that change or making that improvement. And just doing that at every step is just going to amount to a big amount, and it's just going to help you more. Like, to like pretty much any aspect, or even if it's a simple project, you know, you should be open to that feedback, because at the end of the day, it is constructive feedback. It's for you to improve something you're not so good at, or even some, or enhance something you're already good at. So yeah, humility, yeah. And yeah, it's a very important personality trait.
I like it. There's a couple of authors I really like. One name, his name is Ray Dalio, super successful dude financially, seems like great dude. And has this principle that pain plus reflection equals progress. Pain plus reflection equals progress. And if you take that literally, like as an actual math formula, it means you can't have progress without pain. Most people will go, oh, well, that's good news, because I've got some problems. I'm like, great, so do we all, right? Like, but then it's like, but if you've got the problems, you're going to have them as well. They're not going anywhere. So what's going to lead to the progress is the reflection.
The reflection.
Is the like, why did this happen? What was my role in this? What did I, sins of commission or omission, what did I do or not do that allowed or increases the likelihood of this happening? And then what can I do differently in the future to change it? Pain plus reflection equals progress. And Tony Robbins, like who's done more for this industry than anyone, Tony Robbins says progress equals happiness. So if you string that along, pain plus reflection equals progress equals happiness. I'm like, there's some wisdom in there, which says happiness requires pain.
That is so deep, but like it just hits you. Yeah.
I wish any of those ideas were mine. I literally just went. Which is,
but like, yeah. This does circle back to the thing you said about like, it's all about the input, and it's not always about the materialistic things. It's about how you feel and like if you're happy or not. So I think, yes, if you do something, one of the very first questions should be, are you happy doing it? You know, do you have that in you know, if you're content, or do you feel happy that you're doing that particular job or whatever it is? So yeah.
Which is, and pick your word for happy, right? There's a lot of people like, you shouldn't try to be happy. Like, pick meaning, purpose, joy, oneness. Still, they're all this synonyms. We're all talking about the same thing fundamentally. And I think that develops, for me, it's developed as I've gone on in life. I thought at the start, happiness equaled, you know, having no problems. And then I was like, the problem with that is there's always going to be problems, you know? Like, I've got an inbox with things in there that I need to do. And some of them, every so often, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that, you know? I want to review an invoice that wasn't paid because the account was wrong or whatever. Like, but I'm like, 4 years ago when I started the business, I would have been like on my knees praying my biggest problem is I need to process an invoice for someone who wants me to pay me to do the thing I love. You know, like, it's so funny how years ago it would have been a miracle. Now it's a problem. I think that phrasing of you're always going to have problems, you get to pick them, you get to say what's worth it, even if it's hard, even if I have to get up at 6 a.m., even if I fail at it, what's still worth it? What would make me feel good? What would I be proud of? What would I want to leave as a legacy or whatever? And then pursue that.
Yeah, that definitely relates to like the self-reflection and the needing to like know yourself, which you've definitely explored a lot. Is there any more like critical attributes you think that should be essential for student leaders, like things we should really try to develop to be good leaders?
Yeah, my reframe on this is If you see yourself as a student leader, see yourself as a student of leadership. See yourself as someone who is going to enter the world. Did that land with you, Pranav?
Yeah.
Good. Like, so you go. Because that's the moment, right? You want that thing. Yeah. I just put in a two-letter word, right? Student of leadership.
Just like one word.
One. That's what I mean, right? The combination lock. You're like, oh, that's a cute metaphor. But sometimes if that lands, and I say this because this is what changed it all for me. I started reading books. I started listening to podcasts. I never did that. I think it works for anything. If you want to be a master of accounting, like study accounting. Like if you want to be a really good leader, like study it. Who did it well? Like, how do they do it? How do they think about it? And from diverse sources. So today, if someone like listens to our conversation, they go, oh yeah, okay, I'm kind of interested in this goal setting stuff. Like we've got goal setting resources on our website. We run workshops. You can go to your uni and say, hey, you should bring this guy in. Sounds like he knows what he's talking about. But you might go, okay, well, I'm going to go listen to five other people talk about goal setting. You know, there's TED Talks out there that say, don't set goals. There's TED Talks out there that say, set fear goals, not like striving goals. There's a bunch of different perspectives and they've all got elements of truth in them. And I think what I'm trying to do and what I'm always trying to encourage student leaders to do is say, be a student of this space. Find out what great leaders through history did. Learn from people who have different points of view. Listen to people who you might not totally agree with. And see if you can learn and then synthesize it all in your own way. And I think that's what's unique is you go, okay, I kind of got some stuff from Josh and then sat down, had a coffee with Pranav and then Jess gave me her favorite book and I kind of patched these things together and you'll see the things that sort of, you have a gap in your understanding of the world. And sometimes you'll hear something and it'll fit like a key and you go, oh, like that unlocked a new perspective or a new opportunity. So I'd be saying, yeah, students of leadership, read widely. And it doesn't have to be reading, right? You might learn through conversations. Starting a podcast like this, it might be audio. Like you don't have to do any reading.
Definitely for me.
Find a way to, yeah.
Hitting me. Oh, good stuff. Even the thing you said about like a little bit of that, a little bit of this, it just again links back to your thing where you said everyone's unique. So everyone has a different, just a different process. Everyone has a different approach. So I think just engaging in that and looking at it from different perspectives, like you said, and then using that to find your own perspective is a really good way to just like understand and yeah, just fit that key in the, fit that piece in the puzzle to like everything. Yeah.
And maybe one final point to kind of bring that together too is you'll need different skills depending on the environments you're going into. So, you know, as a kicking off and doing the podcast, Dose of Pharma will need different skill sets, different learnings. And if it's like, well, what skill do I need for my leadership journey? That's kind of hard. It's a big question. First, if you're in a team, you can say, hey, what would it be really like, what skill are we missing here? What do we need? What's a problem that like no one's handling? Or my favorite is this concept of, you know, if this was all to go horribly wrong, why would it go wrong? Oh, well, probably because we don't. And like, what's within your control? And you go, okay, well, what if I got good at that? What if I learned how to do that? So for me, one of the big things with starting a business was one of the big things people spoke about was like financial management, cash flow management, people running out of cash shopping. Like that was a big problem. And so I said, okay, what could I do to make sure I never have that problem? And so one of the big things was once I started the business, I worked a full-time job for a year, save. So I had a backup and I knew if the business didn't earn a dollar for like a year and a half, I would have been okay. Like minimal, but okay. And so I never wanted to have to make short-term cash decisions. I never wanted to compromise on like values or who we worked with or what we did or what we didn't do because I was like, I need the cash. And because I was able to sort of say no and be selective and be patient, we were able to be in a much better position long-term. So thinking about what your environment needs, what your team needs, what your business organization needs, and then saying, okay, how could I skill up to fill your need? Rather than, you know, looking around and saying like, what can they do for me? It's kind of flipping it.
Yeah, it comes back to that really important like need to serve others and that self-reflection.
Mm.
Yeah, so do you have any final points you'd like to add or any advice you'd like to give us with us making goals or becoming leaders to wrap it all up?
Probably just to start, would probably be to do that exercise I mentioned before of taking a blank page, writing out those different areas, thinking of the areas of your life, and you cannot solve a problem you're not willing to have. So if you can say, what are the things in my life that, even the things that I know I shouldn't be doing, or I know I don't enjoy, or my life would be better if I got rid of this thing or said no to this thing. There's a Stoic philosophy, which is subtract rather than add to solve problems. It's like, what's something in your life that you said, okay, a year from now, if I could remove that problem, if I could not do that thing, if if I could really live in line with my values, what would I keep doing? Like, what's working? What do I need to stop doing? And what could I start doing? So I'd say, look at, and literally from apps on your phone, pulling up your phone and going, which one of these do I need to delete or minimize my time on, right? So look at your assignments or your friendship group and go, who do I need to spend more time with? Or going through a LinkedIn or a job application for the future of your dream job, looking at the skills they want and going, which one of those do I know I don't have that I could start investing in, do a course in, read a book in? And often it's these little changes that if you put half an hour, 15 minutes, an hour into something every day for a year, 2 years, it's amazing how much progress you can make. And it's amazing how easy it is not to start. So I challenge you, whatever that thing is, pick something, give yourself enough timeline to watch it compound, and then just chip away at it day by day and see where you're at 3 or 6 months from now.
Yeah, that sounds like a great thing for us to get started on.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Josh. Like, I'm pretty sure everyone else, but this hit me like very specifically. Like, do the things you said, where happiness is equal to pain, and being a student of leadership, then being student leaders is, they just like rebound and they're gonna stay in my headspace for a long time. So thank you for that.
Oh, cool. Thanks for having me on and a chance to share it. I always learn more when I get to articulate this stuff, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a very enjoyable conversation. It's very informative.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks for asking good questions. I appreciate it.
We wish to acknowledge the people of the Kulin Nations on whose land we are gathered today. We pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging. For those who are listening who may be based elsewhere, we pay our respects to the traditional owners of the land from wherever you may be listening from. We especially welcome any Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people listening in today.